DDG episode 6, coming to you from both of us are very tired from post-retail Black Friday life. My name is Dave Hunt, I'm one of your hosts, and I'm joined by Michael Swick, the freshly cut Michael Swick.
I got a haircut, I'm a new person, but I'm still dead inside because of Black Friday.
For those of you that don't know, Michael and I both work in retail, so it is post-Thanksgiving, which meant that both of our stores, I think, were open on Thanksgiving night, and very early on Black Friday, and then the weekend, at least for me, the weekend seemed to calm down a little bit. Saturday and Sunday kind of went back to a little bit more semi-normal days, but trying to keep up with some things that were going on for Black Friday from a gaming perspective while working was challenging, and I had late nights. I had a very, very late night Wednesday, a very early morning on Friday, with Thanksgiving sandwiched in between, and then working another couple of. I seem to have contracted some kind of cold or just dry throat sinus problem. If I sound a little worse than I normally sound, I apologize.
Yeah, and I'm just coming off working several 10-hour shifts. I'm super tired, but I wanted to record, wanted to do this live, so we're
probably
here for you guys.
Yeah, it probably won't be a very long show this week just because there is almost no news, and with us working a lot, it's a holiday week, so there wasn't a ton of stuff going on in general in the gaming world because, most companies shut down. Maybe they might have something going on Monday and a half day Tuesday, and then a lot of people, they allow them to spend their time with family. We will get into it. If you are listening for the first time, thank you so much for checking it out. We are Digital Days Gaming. We are on our 6th episode. We are 1 month old today, which is crazy.
Oh, yeah. That worked out, really well, actually.
So today we launched November 1st, and obviously the day of the show is December 1st that we're recording. And we also live stream the show, twitch.tv/Digital Days Gaming, where you can watch the show every Sunday night, 9:30, 10 o'clock Eastern time. That's just when we're able to. Twitch replays are there, and then the podcast itself posts on Thursdays, at Thursday morning, 6 a.m. Eastern. So if you are able to subscribe, please subscribe. If you're able to leave us a review, that would be much appreciated. A lot of you have done that already, and it's helping as our numbers continue to climb and newer episodes do better than previous episodes, which is always encouraging to see. And we've hit a couple milestones already that I think Michael and I were both a little bit surprised that we hit as early as we have. So that's a huge thank you to you guys for sharing the show, leaving reviews, telling your friends about it, all that fun stuff. Thank you. And then on Twitch as well, twitch.tv/Digital Days Gaming, we are an affiliated Twitch channel, so you are able to use subscriptions on us. If you picked up Amazon Prime for Black Friday, you can merge it with your Twitch account and you get something called Twitch Prime. And Twitch Prime allows you to get one free sub a month. So if you choose to use that sub on us, that was greatly appreciated. 17 of you have done that already, and that's huge. It's another way to support. Some of those are paid subs, but you can also do paid subs to us as well for $4.99. And there's different tiers in there too. We're still working on some of the emotes. As we have mentioned before, Michael and I are going into a very, very busy season for us, real job-wise. So if you guys could just keep throwing money at us, so maybe next year we don't do this.
Yeah.
that would be, awesome and appreciated. So we're still working on some emotes and some sub badges and a few other bits and pieces to improve the Twitch streams and the overall podcast. Like, one of the things that Michael has mentioned to me that we are going to work on the live stream is getting chat on live stream and on the YouTube video, youtube.com/Digital Days Gaming, is for the chat to show up on the video feed, so that if we reference chat, which we try to do very rarely, but when it fits, we do. A viewer that's watching the video on demand or the YouTube replay would see what's going on in terms of where the questions are coming from. So if you're hanging out in the Twitch chat, thank you. If you're watching on a Twitch replay, we appreciate it. And if you're watching on YouTube, make sure to, leave a sub and hit the bell and all that fun stuff, so you know that when we post the show. I feel like we will get some more video content going in January. I've got a couple ideas for some things I need to do, but it all takes time. And I'm myself and my wonderful editor, my wife, is still learning more things about Adobe Premiere and, making our lives easier. So done a good job. And the final thing is patreon.com/Digital Days Gaming. There will be a small revamp to that that's going live this week. We are going to bump the early access up to the $5 tier, and we are going to bump it up to the 48-hour mark. So that probably will get, you'll see the Patreon changes this week to the tiers, and when we change them, we'll tweet them out, and then if you choose to partake in those tiers, it'll probably be, I would say, episode 8 before you really see it take, just to make sure we can get all the bells and whistles taken care of and all of the T's crossed. Thank you to the great Patreon support that we've gotten already. So I don't have the whole thing in front of me. Michael and I are going to work on rewording the tiers, but we'll take like a screenshot on the mobile device and put it in the Facebook group and then on Twitter to show you guys the different tiers. Discord is still a work in progress. There's just a lot of moving pieces that have taken effect in the last 30 days and the negative days while we were building DDG. All right, just getting to the show. You said you have a news item, right?
Yeah, we got one news item. Okay. The video game industry mostly shut down this week. Really wasn't a lot going on. There's the little stuff here and there, but important thing. Everything's important to someone. But the big news-wise, the only thing that I could really find during this holiday week, a lot of the game companies are US-based, so they took the week off. And the story I found is Codemasters are buying Slightly Mad Studios. So Codemasters, all the racing games pretty much, like F1. They purchased Slightly Mad, and that is the developer of Project Cars. They apparently are paying $30 million for the acquisition. Codemasters clearly has the money, and the Project Cars games have been pretty serious racing games, fitting right in there with the Forza GT Sports for this gen. So this is just another acquisition from the Codemasters, who have acquired some studios over the years, and they're just adding another racing studio lineup. And what made this interesting is earlier this year, the Slightly Mad CEO announced that they're making the Slightly Mad Madbox, which was going to be their console that they wanted to launch within the next year. That was supposed to be the most powerful console ever built. I'm guessing that will probably be dead now because Codemasters bought them, and why would Codemasters want to launch a console in this market? But that's probably dead for anyone that was like looking forward to the Madbox, an insane name for a console. Hey.
Yeah. So, I mean, Codemasters, they ended up getting a whole bunch of people from the Drive Club team too, didn't they?
I believe so.
Evolution?
Because,
sorry, that just took a second to register.
Because if I'm not mistaken, like, it's funny, like all the like European racing studios, they all have like lineages from other racing studios. So yeah, I believe so. Cause they, I believe that was the Onrush team from last year.
A lot of them,
So that's they do have a bunch of people from various like studios based in. It's just that they've acquired. I mean, they are the racing company. They kind of have always been the racing company, just adding to their stable.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I think this is fine. Like, I'm not a huge racing fan, but you know, anybody that's keeping these companies and these gaming racing games afloat. There is definitely a passionate fan base for racing games. I'm not part of it. But I saw some of the stuff, like PlayStation was doing a lot of stuff on Facebook this week or last week with the GT event. And there's a lot of people watching that stuff. So, I mean, there still is like Forza always gets a lot of hype. I don't really hear about a lot of driving games on PC. There's definitely like keeping any company afloat is great. Like this maybe guarantees a new Project Cars.
I think so. Project Cars has kind of built itself as
a top five racing game. Yeah, top five race sim. Yeah.
Yeah, and they actually fulfill that PC need because Project Cars. It's a smart move from them. $30 million sounds like a lot of money, but for a studio with an IP, it's important.
Mm-hmm.
That console, I never thought that console was going to happen to begin with. This just like was it for me, but at least it means I'd rather them get acquired than hear like they try and do this console and then have to shutter.
Right.
After
maybe they saw like Stadia's launch and decided just to go like a different direction that maybe it wasn't a good idea.
Yeah, or maybe someone was like logically like there's no room for a third console, and if you're gonna do something, you have to do a streaming service. Stadia.
Yeah. All right, very brief news, but we can jump into what we're planning on watching. Mine's very short. I talked last week a little bit about Destiny 2. I kind of been, the season's coming close to ending, this first season of Shadowkeep. It's going to be like December 10th, I believe, is when it ends.
So like 2 month season?
3 months? They're supposed to be 90 days. So they've talked about like 4 seasons a year, but Shadowkeep got delayed 2 weeks. So that definitely messed with their time frame, and I don't think they really wanted to. It's somewhere you were going to have a shortened season somewhere down the line with the delay. So I think they just decided just to get it out of the way. They're going to have a stream on Wednesday the 4th at like 10 a.m. Pacific time, so 1 p.m. Eastern, where they're doing some reveals for Season of the Dawn, which is the name of the new season. And hopefully that they're going to, they really need to shed some light And this is the, like I mentioned before, this is the first time that they're allowing people to purchase seasonal content a la carte. Before, it was like annual pass or nothing. And this is like, if you want to buy this season 9, you can. It costs $10. You get the new, you know, seasonal battle pass, which I'm sure they'll show off some of the armor and some of the weapons that are going to be given away. And then the thing that most people are curious about is like, what is this content going to consist of? Like, what is this season activity going to be? What are the rewards going to be? Is it going to be 90 days worth of content? Because if you remove Shadowkeep from Season of the Undying, which is the current season that we're in, Season of the Undying is kind of bland. There wasn't a lot of stuff in there. The Battle Pass system, I think, went over really well in terms of using your XP and leveling things up. The artifact went over relatively well with a lot of the different mods and things they put on there. There's some fuss about certain things as we get near the end of the season. There's been a little bit of fuss about certain things, and I think that's kind of what Bungie was hoping for. Not necessarily the fussing aspect of it, but them saying, okay, so this is really cool for like 3 or 4 weeks, and then the 5th, 6th, and 7th week, it's like, all right, well, this is getting kind of, okay, like, I'm not sure if I like this anymore, and then by the like 8th, 9th, 10th week, okay, this is annoying, and then they're like, oh, okay, now we're going to pull it out of the game. So, and that, you know, hopefully the artifact has some brand new things in it, some different setups and changes. Right now there's a lot of things that were specialized for auto rifles and bows and submachine guns, and I'm hoping that that doesn't just change over to different weapon archetypes, because that means like half the artifact will already be like done, and that really only means like the last column will be something that would have monumental changes. But we'll find out with the Season of the Dawn stream what that's about. I might try to, you know, put a thoughts video up after I see that, just to give people a perspective of if I think it's worth $10 and if this is going to be something that's going to show enough promise to keep the Destiny player's attention, which is very hard to do, the hardcore Destiny player, to keep their attention. I was able to complete the raid this week and start working on some other things. I kind of got a little bit laser focused on trying to get up to 960 with some of the pinnacle drops and getting kind of screwed by some RNG in the game, but that's beside the point. So that's what Destiny is and what Destiny always will be. So it's annoying and frustrating at that point in time, but you move on and you move forward. So I'll see if I can get close. I think I'm like 956 overall or something like that, and the light cap for this season is 960.
Just out of curiosity, since you follow like Destiny social media wise, do you know how like the health of like the Stadia stuff has been?
I've seen a couple things. It seems like it's growing a little bit more, and I think part of the reason is most Stadia owners right now that I've talked to are kind of in the wait and see aspect with Stadia. They bought the Founders Pack because they got the controller and they got a new Chromecast Ultra that came with it. But the only two games up until I think like today that were actually playable as part of your package was Destiny 2 and Samurai Showdown.
Yes.
So if you had a Stadia and you didn't like fighting games, you had Destiny. So, and in terms of like a cross save aspect of your character just moved over, so you didn't have to like restart it, but Stadia players only play with Stadia players, so there has been some, I've seen some longer matchmaking queues, just other times where people are like doing things, especially like when it was first coming out, like, you know, like that there was a lot of people that were like, I was watching a couple or seeing some people talk about it, and they were kind of just by themselves, like on the moon or on a planet, maybe one other person, compared to like when I play on PS4 there might be like 16 people.
I'm wondering, do you think they're gonna open that up eventually, or
I think if Bungie has their way, their whole game will be crossplay. So I don't know if that means Destiny 3, but I mean, we can talk about it a little bit later, because I haven't had a chance to mess with it yet, but I did have, I'll pull his name up when you're talking, so I don't mess it up, but I did have someone send me a Stadia Buddy Pass, and so I should be able to play Destiny. I think in terms of, you know, anybody to, I don't have the Chromecast or anything like that, but, and I've got a wired connection to my PC, if I can play it through my Chrome browser or something like that, then giving an impact of that is interesting. Everything I've heard so far is that when people are playing on their PC through their Chrome browser with like a wired connection and the controller's wired, they're not really having any latency problems. But when they're playing farther away from their router and trying to play in 4K on their TV in their living room, they're noticing a little bit of latency. So I haven't really seen, you know, anything like super, super negative about it. But it's interesting. Like I the more I've been thinking about Stadia, I've been looking at things. The server aspect of it is very interesting to me, because like we talked about, like my PC last week is pretty much just another console. It's not super powerful or anything like that. If I can, you know, if I have a monitor that can do 1080p or 4K, and I don't have to, I can use my SCUF or whatever controller I'm using at the time, my Evil controller, my SCUF, or what, or even just a DualShock, plug it into my PC, play like the new Darksiders game that I purchased on Stadia without having to own a box, that I can just spend $60 on Darksiders Genesis and play it through my Chrome browser and not have to worry about can my PC handle the specs or anything like that. Like, I'm very interested in it when that aspect of Stadia happens, but I don't know where, from a business perspective, where Google makes the money from that, other than, like you've always talked about, data.
Yeah, which they, Google already has your data, yeah. So it's like one of those things. They don't need a service to mask that.
Yeah, Paris with Gamertag Radio, he had been railing on Stadia for months about who is this for, what are you doing, what is your business plan, who are you marketing to, what are you doing, why does this exist right now, why do I have to pay to play your beta? And he got a buddy code as well, and I think somebody like lent him a Founders Edition, and he talked about it a lot, and he was saying that, you know, the technology works.
Yeah, the tech works from everything I hear. It's just there's nothing there to
keep. Right. And then you have to pay the $10 a month to get the 4K, and then you also have to buy the game.
Yeah.
So it costs you $120 a month if you want to play games in 4K. I mean, I'm sorry, it costs you $120 a year if you want to play games in 4K, and then you have to buy a $60 game.
Yeah, and they, you know, they're doing like the one, a lot of people were upset because there was only like 22 games at launch, Tomb Raider and Farming Simulator for December. People were like, what the hell? They just bought them Stadia, refund people that bought those two games.
Right. What would be really interesting to me in 6 months down the road, like as a game, like a powerful game like Cyberpunk, that we're going to, you know, Michael, if you play it on console, because you're way more hyped about that game than I am, but if you play that on console, you're going to get the quote-unquote lesser experience.
Yeah, for sure.
But if that game comes out on Stadia, which we don't know, I don't think it would, but I'm just using it as an example.
No, it is, I thought.
Okay, if it comes out on Stadia, and Stadia is live to where you don't have to own anything, you can just plug your controller into your current PC, open up a Chrome browser and go to stadia.com or whatever and buy Cyberpunk for $60 and play the game in 4K 10, you know, 4K 60 frames a second. Yeah. I think that you should buy it from there.
Yeah, for sure. But I have a data cap. I can't.
Ooh, okay. Never mind. Yeah. I think they've actually said like 4K uses like 2 gigs an hour or something.
Yeah, and that's a RPG from CD Projekt Red, so that's going to be like a 50 to... So. Yeah. Yeah, which sucks, which is probably why I'm never going to get Stadia.
Right.
Just because, just between me and Sarah, I think I used 400 gigs, and I'm not streaming any games. Live stream video games to Twitch, but...
Right. I think watching a game is different than playing a game.
Yeah, yeah. But, like, having a Stadia would destroy that cap.
So, it's super interesting to me if you can remove that bridge of... I would be more apt or inclined to go get a nice 30-inch, 32-inch 4K monitor or TV that I could play games on Chrome browser if I didn't have to own a box, you know, or if I could, if it can all be handled server-side. I would love to give a company that kind of money that I don't have to, you know, when the PS5 comes out, if it's $500, you know, like that'll, you know, maybe that'll just turn into an exclusive machine for me. But if I could try Cyberpunk out and not have to worry about, you know, can I run it.com or performance issues like I've had with Jedi Fallen Order, which I think is partially PC and partially the game. If that aspect can be removed, then I would invest in a better monitor to play games and to see how that, you know, that functionality would work. And I would love to give Stadia or whatever company is able to succeed in that process my money. I want to, you know, be able to play at the best ability I want the best experience at the best cost.
Especially when everyone's kind of paying the same amount, technically, you know, Stadia that way. Like, everyone's paying, you know, everyone pays like the same $6 price tag games, and some people are getting inferior version compared to other.
Yeah, and getting building a PC that can run, you know, CD Projekt Red at high speed settings, max settings, is $5,000?
No, it's
3,500.
You're probably looking at like 900 to 1500, maybe 2000, depending on like if you want to go at like the latest greatest card. But yeah, you're still looking at potentially $1,000.
Yeah, and then it almost potentially being quote unquote outdated tech by the time you get it to your house.
Oh yeah, when I got my computer, I got a 1060, and then like 2 months later they announced like the next line of cards, and I'm like, oh shit, so I'm back to like a 970 or a 960. You know, when you look at like the jumps, it's like, oh okay, so I'm back down a generation.
And then watching, you know, I watched the atrocity that is my Lions lose to the Bears with our third string quarterback. And we did Thanksgiving with my brother-in-law, my wife and their family at my brother-in-law's house. My son was in town for a couple of days. Thankfully, my father-in-law was able to pick him up and take him home, or take him back to the dorm. He'll be back in like 2 weeks for Christmas break, which is 6 hours away, and I have to thankfully my father-in-law has the time to do that, because that would have been like 24 hours in a car and like 17 day span for me. So that's a huge help. I think I saw him for all of like 8 hours while he was home. he spent a lot of time with his buddies and things like that, which is fine. I mean, that's what, 20-year-olds do now. And then today I get, my wife had it turned on. I don't know why. She said she was showing it at one of her classes at work, or at where she's teaches. And so I randomly watched like 3 or 4 episodes of Psych with my wife.
Cat's fighting me.
Cat's back. We're streaming and recording, so the cat's back.
Yeah, no, it was a different cat this time. The other cat is like waiting on a ledge, like right next to me, waiting. It like waits to the last 5 minutes of the podcast, just jump in and try and get us some follow. Sorry, continue.
No, you're good. Yeah, so we started, randomly watching Psych back at the beginning of the, I think we're on like 30 minutes. I haven't caught up on Mandalorian yet, need to, but just didn't really have the time or the energy. But yeah, just didn't have a whole lot of time to play much this week or watch. I stayed up too late Friday night, messing around with things in Destiny, not on purpose. That really kind of messed up my... What you been playing? Nacho dip at work.
Oh my God, yeah. Oof, that... You want to talk about an easy way to piss me off is have me come in to work on Thanksgiving and be like, hey, there's food in the back. And then I'm like, oh, cool, that's new. Going to the back and I just see like a bag of nacho chips and a sad can of beans. I'm like, oh, fuck this place. Gaming wise, all of my coworkers, so like all the Black Friday deals kind of started on Sunday. So a ton of my coworkers ended up buying Call of Duty. So I've just been playing with different coworkers almost every other night, playing with a different coworker who'd like bought the game, like $40. Call of Duty games don't really go on sale that often. So a ton of Call of Duty. We finished Dragon Age 2. Still gonna say Dragon Age 2 is better than 1. We just started Dragon Age 3 yesterday, which I am told is significantly longer than the other two games. I think it might be combined with crazy world building. So I have that to go through. Then After Party, still going through After Party. Really taking my time. Like the last 5 days, I've only come home to sleep. Like, that's it. Work a 10-hour shift, come home, have like a dinner, and then watch a little bit of Dragon Age. Like I get like an hour or two where I can like watch something or play a game. I've been too dead to actually play a game, so it's just watch Dragon Age and then go to bed, wake up, go to work, and then rinse and repeat the life. But I was able to fit in another hour of After Party, still loving that game.
You should stream that.
I should. Yeah, I really stream that. Maybe it'll motivate me to like actually like set more time away. Like this week I'm working a ton, but I have at least like gaps. Like I'm not working 10-hour shifts again.
Right.
So I'm hoping to stream more and actually.
You won't come home and be gassed and be like, I just want to lay here like a dead vegetable.
Yeah, because there was like some days where I'm getting home at like, even the days where I got home the last 5 days and it's like 6 o'clock, it's like I got to work at 7 o'clock.
Right.
It's 6 o'clock at night, so I'm just like, I'm dead. But After Party is really fun. The humor is just, it's hitting constantly. I'm waiting, and it's like, it does like offensive jokes in like good ways to where I'm just like, damn, I'm surprised they put that in the game. And I'm just enjoying the hell out of that. Then we'll probably talk about it. We have a Black Friday question, but I've been kind of going like crazy purchasing Black Friday games. I ended up, I talked about it last week. I like Medieval because the PlayStation Black Friday sale happened early last week. And then that's when I picked up After Party. But then I also picked up Man of Medan on disc, Aladdin Lion King on disc, Nier Automata and Judgment on disc. So I'm like, I'm not living up to the digital name, because at one point I was, for like a lot of these games are on sale on PSN, but there's like a $5 like difference in the cost. Mm-hmm. To where it's like I'm just gonna get the disc version, that's $5 cheap, even though it's so much more convenient digital one. Like I seriously had the debate for rather have Lion King and Aladdin on a console or on the disc, then I'm just like, I'm just gonna save the $5 disc.
Right.
And also Disney's really good or bad at taking games off shelves.
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely an aspect to it. I just wish that it would, allow us to... It already downloads the game, like PlayStation does, and allow us to, like, refresh the key or something like that. Like, the rumor... there was a rumor before, like, with Xbox One when it was coming out, that it would only require you to periodically put the disc in there to verify the key. If that can, be something that can happen eventually, like, that would be really good. But...
Yeah.
I get why it exists, though, because the used game market is so huge.
Yeah, but GameStop will be gone in like a year or two, and then they can just
right.
Implement that. It's just crazy, though, that, like, And I'm going to buy some PC games probably today or tomorrow and take advantage of the Steam sales. But it's just so crazy that, like, especially on PlayStation, they don't match, like, the store sales. And they should. Like, there's like, no reason for them not to.
Especially, it's just a, you know, I mean, we do it at work all the time. We match other retailers on our website on a regular basis. Like, somebody's, like, paying attention to that stuff. Like, if you're going to sell Man of Medan for $13 or $17 on PSN, and you see that Best Buy has it for $10, like, why wouldn't you?
Like, all the games I talked about, like, Nier was $20, I think it was $30 on PSN. Aladdin was $15, but $20 on PSN. Judgment, I think, Judgment and Catherine, I didn't end up picking a Catherine. Those were both $30, but were in store. So I was just like, you know what? That's like $20 that I'm saving by on these four, so I might as well. And that's $20 that I can then Steam sale else. It was like almost like a no-brainer for me.
Well, and I feel like the customer is getting smarter and smarter every year and every time this happens, and they're realizing that, you know, like, they're thinking like you, like, is it, like, they go digital, they look for it to be digital first, so they don't have to worry about it anymore. They don't have to remember where the discs are. They don't have to, you know, make sure it's up, you know, like, oh, I got to find the disc because there's a patch. Because I think you have to have the disc in the, you know, to get the patch, right?
No, PSN will just automatically patch whatever, like, the last, like, 10 games or the last games you played in the last 30 will be patched where the disc is in.
Okay. But I feel like there's a huge missed opportunity if somebody's willing to, you know, go what companies call, like, showrooming and go and look for video games and see, like, oh, look, the box is cool, and they flip it over, they're looking at Judgment, oh, this is something I really like, it's $10, but let me see how much it is on the PlayStation Store, and it's $17. Like, that's a huge missed opportunity for them, because they might just buy it right there on their phone and walk out of the store.
And the Black Friday sale was, like, leaked, like, 2-3 weeks ago. PSN could have changed and matched those deals. I do know the publishers do set prices, but yeah, probably, like, for me personally, for all four of these games, each time I was going to buy these games, I looked on the PSN store and typed the game in, saw the price was a $5 difference, still had the internal debate of, like, is $5 worth not having to put the disc in, and mm-hmm. I need my $5. Right. But every single one of those games I would have picked over physical, but I just wanted to, you know, save money, especially, like, $5 is, like, a decent amount of money.
Especially for four or five games.
Yeah.
It's another game.
Yeah, the only game I played of the four that I mentioned was the Aladdin Lion King bundle. Which is so well done. I did find some, like, bugs already. They have different filters on the game. Scan lines.
Yeah.
Yes. So they have all that. But if you turn a filter off, there's just no game. Like, it just takes the game just goes black, which is just hilarious to me. and I can't find a way to fix it. I might have to uninstall and reinstall it just because that seems like a big bug to have and not be patched already. But the museum aspects of the collection is fantastic. Like, I watched, like, 2 10-minute. Like, documentaries on the development of the game in there, and there's, like, 3 or 4 more for just Aladdin. And there's the soundtracks in the game, so you can just, like, go and play each track that's in the game. They have, like, original concept art, which look like they're actual scanned sheets of, like, concept art. And as you click through it, it'll give you notes on exactly what the design doc is and what all of it means. And there's, like, one section that had, like, 58 pages of, like documents.
Wow.
That you can just go through, scroll through. It's like, it's really, really interesting to go through all that. And then they, you know, like, each game has multiple versions. Like, I don't know if this is only a PlayStation thing, because I noticed this on, like Call of Duty. Like, they won't call Xbox out on Call of Duty on the PS4 version. And I think the PC version will say, like, Xbox, PlayStation. On Aladdin and Lion King Collection, it says console N and console S for Nintendo and Sega. Which I just think is the dumbest thing. I don't know if that means that that was a publisher thing where they had to clear that with Nintendo or Sega, but it just seems so ridiculous that they just put Nintendo or Sega. Mm-hmm. But looking at how Call of Duty handles, like, naming the other consoles, it's wouldn't be surprised if that's, like, a weird Sony. But the care that put into, like, just the special features of this game are really well thought out and really good. And I was just getting, like, the nostalgia kick just going through that, just because those are, like, Genesis games. Little disappointed there's no Game Gear version of, like, Lion King, because I believe the Game Boy version of Aladdin's on here. So it just seems kind of weird that it's like, why did they skip the Game Gear version? Though I think the Game Gear version was close to the Genesis, maybe just thought redundant. But I'm enjoying messing around with that.
Awesome.
But overall, that's kind of it for playing. Yeah. It's been a busy, busy week. I actually did my Thanksgiving today, Sunday, as we're recording, just because enough people in my family work retail. So it's just like everyone was inconvenienced a different day in terms of, like, oh, we can do Friday. No, we can't. This person's working. Oh, Saturday. Nope, that person. So we did our Thanksgiving on Sunday. Luckily, we did it early enough in the day, so I was back in time to record this. Hopefully next week I'll have, or at least I can, I want to play Man of Medan, especially you can kind of play that game co-op, so I'm interested to do that.
Yeah, I got 2 weekdays off. I think I got like a Tuesday and Thursday off coming up. So definitely need to finish Fallen Order before my month of Origin premiere runs out. The goal.
You're going to let that lapse, watch.
We'll see how that goes. There's some other games on there I want to check out. Like Dead Cells is on there too, and I haven't had a chance to play that yet.
Yeah, Sims. I want to see you play The Sims.
No, that's not going to happen.
Yeah, I want to see you. I want to see you play The Sims.
So, and then like I think Halo Reach is coming really soon to Games Pass.
December, is that December 3rd? Like I'm kind of scared because like I really want to play.
Or Tuesday?
It might be Tuesday. I got to look that up.
Yeah.
Because I'm excited, but I'm not looking forward to it just because I don't have time.
I've never played a Halo game.
I've only played Halo 2.
Okay.
Oh, no, Halo 3. That's the one that came with, like, the cat helmet special edition. I played that. But I've been wanting to go through all of them because I know how important of a franchise it is. Oh, my God. Master Chief Collection is December 3rd.
Now, is that coming to Game Pass on December 3rd?
Yes.
But so for the PC, though, I think we're only getting Reach. So
Only getting Reach at first, and the rest are going to be added in chronological order.
Yeah.
So technically, Reach in a timeline is, I believe. Yeah. So, oh, man, I guess I'm playing Halo Reach this week.
Yeah, because, I mean, I only have it for PC. You have Ultimate, though, right? So you have it on the PC and the console?
I don't have the console. I just have it on PC. So,
oh, so it's just going to be Reach for you and I.
Yeah, it's just going to be Reach.
Is there any co-op in Reach?
I think so. There's always like some sort of co-op, so we might need to check that out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm off Tuesday. So maybe.
Yeah, we can. All right. Let's jump into the questions. Like I said, it's probably going to be a shorter show this week, but we'll be back with a regular show next week. I think we kind of went over this one already, but Chip, he said, how bad did Black Friday suck for you guys this year? Hashtag ask digital days. I mean, overall, like, I didn't have to work on Thanksgiving, so I was fortunate. Michael's showing off a SpongeBob character on the video that he apparently purchased, that one that with the meme that they use with the different spellings.
Yeah.
Capital letter, lowercase letter.
Yep. The troll, SpongeBob. Yeah, that's how my Black Friday went. I bought that, and I don't remember buying it, but I got the shipping notification the next day, and okay.
Yeah. I didn't buy anything. There's a lot of things I was looking at, but nothing really, like, jumped out at me. Like, I've been thinking about a Switch. My wife and I were talking about a Switch. The one thing that I looked at, and my wife was like, well, if you want to, like, because, you know, like, there was the all-digital, the Xbox One all-digital. Wario had tweeted something out about some other company. I'm probably going to get the name wrong, but Rakuten or something like that had it with, like, a code. And he's like, the end of it is, like, $113. And I was like,
the deal's still going, I believe. It's the $150 sad one, the all digital. That's what it's called. The sad. It was $150, and then they had a 20% off thank you code, and then if you used a MasterCard, you got an additional $30 off. So it was like actually like $89 or something. But I think the $30 would like come back to you, MasterCard point. But yeah, you could, if you didn't have a MasterCard, it was still like $100.
That version came with like 90 days of Game Pass, right?
Yeah, I was super tempted.
Yeah, but I almost wonder, like, are we going to see something as we get closer to Christmas? You know, something crazy.
I think the all digital one's going to be $150 the entire time. We're probably going to see that deal pop up once.
Yeah, but I mean, I feel like the priority right now for me, if I'm going to get a console, is a Switch, because I can play almost everything.
That's what ultimately like, decided it for me. I did the thing where I kind of made a list of games I wanted.
Tim,
all of them are PC.
Tim in the Twitch chat, do it. Join the dark side.
I'm halfway there. I'm on the PC Xbox Game Pass, and that's kind of enough for me.
I have an Xbox One X, Tim. It's called my cyber power PC.
The only thing that sucks is the Game Pass on Xbox is significantly bigger. Mm-hmm. I don't need
any more stuff to play right now, man. Like, I'm good.
Yeah, especially I was looking at getting the EA Premiere, and then I don't have time.
Like, yeah,
I don't have time.
And I mean, and it's kind of like, I mean, you're half joking, half serious about letting it lapse, but they're in the back of my mind, it's like, I want to beat Star Wars Fallen Order before this, you know, because I don't know if I would play something else going into December and Christmas, my son being in town. Like, I feel like EA would just get $15 of my money from December 15th to January 15th, and I wouldn't do anything with it. So,
Yeah.
You know, and I can always just pick it back up in February or March when there's something for me not to, you know, and I'm like, hey, I want to check out something else to play, or they, you know, release something else that's interesting on, you know, on that service. And it, for some whatever reason, like $15 a month isn't bad, but it's significantly more than Games Pass.
Which I'm waiting for them to turn that price up.
Yeah. And then like, can't be I got to figure out what I'm going to do. Like, I got to see. I got to look up specs for Darksiders Genesis. I'm with it being a top-down version, I'm assuming my PC will run that without any problem at all.
No, your PC can run Jedi at like mid to high.
So, because I love Darksiders, and that comes out like in 14th or 11th. But so yeah, I mean, overall, from a retail standpoint, I think that at least for my company, like we had a really good Black Friday. We were happy with at least at my store level. So I think that you kind of went over yours. You got crappy food, and then you had to work again the next day.
Yep, and then they actually ordered food for us, but it was crappy. Like it was crappy ordered.
We had we went out and got a couple. You know, because I'm part of the management team, we went out and got a couple hams, and we made sure that we had like some, you know, pop and things like that for everybody. And then we just do like a potluck thing where people bring desserts and side dishes. We set it up in like our receiving department with the big counters.
So luckily, some people in my department did that as well, but we kept it secret from the rest of the store. We did not have enough food to go around. So it was like six or seven of us. It's like, no. We have food because we heard, our work did multiple shifts, you know, like first shift, second. So once word got out that it was just like chips and salsa, like the second shift will kind of like save the day.
They brought a couple leftovers from their dinner.
Basically, yeah, because they actually were able to do it because their second shift started at like 8.
Yeah. I mean, the main reason we do it on Friday, at least Black Fridays for us, is where my store is and where most, you know, like Michael's is similar to this, where our stores are located can be very heavily congested areas on Black Friday, and trying to go and get lunch, you know, somewhere else can be a little bit of a struggle and a challenge if you go out for lunch. So, yeah. On Facebook, Kyle asks, any fun midnight launch stories to tell of any game/console? So you got anything?
I have a couple, both from attending and having to help organize them for my Target days. The one that I went to, I used to go to them pretty often when I was like a teenager. Like I remember going to Grand Theft Auto 4 launch with my brother. That was interesting because it was just like a bunch of like super hyper teenagers trying to get an M-rated game. Everyone walked away with the game, so it was kind of odd. No one had their ID check that night. But if you try to buy the game the next day, we're totally checking your ID. But that midnight launch. One of my favorite ones is I went with my brother to a Call of Duty launch. I forget which one it was. It might have been Modern Warfare 2. There were some people dressed up in like the casual like in fatigues, you know, like the jumpsuit ones. And they were cosplaying, actually. And they got to hop the line because the manager thought that they were actual soldiers. And the cosplayers didn't say otherwise. They just were like, okay, we jumped the line. And then actual soldiers came in and also got to hop the line and then had awkward interactions with the people that were cosplaying of like, where are you stationed? And I wasn't too far from them, so I heard like this whole interaction. And then a fight almost broke out once the real soldiers found out that the other people like cosplaying, like really realistic uniforms. And like, it's not like a fun story, but it was kind of hilarious watching these guy cosplayers like a couple minutes before midnight who were like basking in like the free attention they were getting immediately get shut down. Like real soldiers showed up and said, take that shit off, and like kicked them out of the front of the line, and they like ran to their car. And then shortly after midnight, they just come in like their regular clothes and like just casually, quietly picked up their games and ran the hell away before like the actual like could do anything to them, because they were not denying that they were, you know, that they were Marines. They were just like going along with it. It was like, oh, they got the line. So I got to see, you know, some cosplayers almost get their ass kicked at a Call of Duty. God, that would have been interesting to see how that would have went down. And then Target didn't always do midnight launches because it was really hard to do midnight launches at a Target, because it's, you have your electronics department and then you have the whole rest of the store. So organizing people to just come to the electronics department and not go to other parts of the store is really hard, especially our store's electronics department was back. So they would have to find different ways to like funnel people to buy games. They were always horribly, horribly organized. The first time they did one was for a Call of Duty game. It seems like all Call of Duty games got mid launches at a certain point, really a thing. And Target website advertised that there would be food, tournaments, all this stuff going on. And I remember telling my manager, I'm like, hey, everything in this ad, we're not doing any of this, are we? And they're like, no, hell no, any of that. But it's advertised. People are going to be pissed. And my manager's like, no one's going to show up. We're pissed because they were expecting like free swag, all this stuff. And I think my manager just ended up like going to the other side of the store and getting like some candy bars and bags of chips and hoping that would like suffice, but then that did not, and people were like kind of demanding gift cards for satisfaction, which I don't know what the result of that was, because I immediately just like anytime someone complained, I'd be like, let me tell you to my manager, and just ran away, which I'm sure Dave loved.
Yeah, after 20 years of it, become numb.
You know, especially when it's like a teenager being like, hey, I'm minimum wage, you want to talk to my manager? Because I can't do shit for
you. Yeah.
So there's definitely a lot of interactions like that during that launch. And then I did the Switch launch as well.
Really?
Which was actually pretty well organized. Like, they learned from the Call of Duty for that. Did the Switch launch was like actually pretty organized. And I just remember having interactions with everyone where everyone was just complaining about the Switch launch games for other consoles. So it's just a lot of interactions with people.
It's like, it's not our fault.
Yeah, every time they're like, what, this is all you have? It's like, literally, this is all they have. Like, yeah. Do you want any?
The most common thing that's happened to me this weekend that I, you know, we always get asked those ridiculous questions as retail workers, of like somebody just saying something ridiculous to you or asking you a question about, oh, like no discount or no sale today. Like, no, that's the price that you see right there. Yesterday, Saturday, and today, Sunday, customers asking me, like, how much was that on Friday? Like, you don't, why does that matter? Like, why do you want to know that answer? You're not here. You weren't here. And I can't make it the Friday price, because if I could make it the Friday price, it would just be that price.
Yeah. Oh, man. I hate that question, especially when you get the people scouting like a week before Black Friday, who are just going around a store like, how much is that going to be Black Friday? And it's like, I don't know, fucking look online.
Well, and for the most part, we don't really know. We don't actually know the sales. Like, we knew what promotion we were running, like store-wide promotion. Mm-hmm. I'm like, it's on the signs up front. But how much is it going to be? I'm like, I have no idea. Like, I really don't know that until like Wednesday, like when I'm setting it up.
Yeah, like the only thing I can point people is like, hey, I don't know, Slick Deals might have the leak, but I can't confirm any of that's real or not, because I have no idea until we put up the signs that night.
So that question used to always fascinate me. It's like it would be like a similar concept to me of you walking in and looking at like a 2019. You know, Ford car, and be like, how much is the 2017 version? Well, that doesn't matter, like I don't have it.
Oh, there's just a ton of that. Just or people like Saturday asking for Thursday's doorbuster, and it's just like, come on, like what do you expect? It's a doorbuster because we don't have large
something I will say out loud to people that are listening, and it's fascinating to me, but I talked to a couple people and they were worried about it. I want to make something clear that people don't really realize or understand, and if you really think about it, it makes sense. And I don't. This might not be the case for your company, but most companies' registers can't physically change prices in the middle of the day.
Nope.
So, like, these things, like, oh, before noon, what they're hoping is that they got 200 of said toy, and they're hoping that all 200 of said toy will be gone because they put that false sense of pressure on somebody saying you need to be there before noon. Just letting everybody know that little thing. Like, if you're in line at 11:58 and you're in line for an hour and you get rang up at 12:58, it's going to ring up at the price that it's supposed to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, those are usually as soon as they run out. You know, the next time they get a shipment, it'll be at.
And if you randomly find that item on a store, like on a Saturday or a Sunday, it'll probably ring up at that Friday price.
Because it's until the inventory hits zero for most stores, it'll stay at that sales.
For midnight releases, for me, I don't really have a lot of those. I can remember picking up a couple games at mid, but if anything, it's like two or three. And I want to feel like it was Uncharted 3, maybe I did. And that was like when I was still kind of like, I might have been even before I was with PS Nation, where I was just kind of like reserving games and playing them just for myself. But some people know this, but I know we have a lot of new listeners as well. I sold gym shoes for 10 years. I worked in a very, very urban area of metropolitan Detroit that sold Jordans very, very well. We'd get like 1,000 of them in. We'd sell them out.
You probably do midnight launches.
Yeah, well, sometimes midnight launches, sometimes 6 a.m.s. Mm-hmm. Like the malls would open at 6 a.m. And just like people breaking into the mall to stand in line.
Yeah.
To the point where we couldn't like the one I vividly remember is that me and my boss, I was like 17 at the time, me and my boss and somebody else were opening, and we couldn't actually get to our gate because there were so many people in front of the gate, and we're standing out there and people are like, are you going to open? I'm like, are you going to, that's my only way in the store. Like, are you going to get out of the way? I mean, it wasn't like five people. This was like 60 or 70 people. And like
you're,
to the point where my boss was like, I can't. We were figuring something out. He's like, I can't open this gate all the way. Because if we open this gate, pretty high, then they're going to come in the store. And for the most part, like you talked about controlled aspects, like mall stores are very small. And we would have physical control over the gate to where we would have like two cashiers and we'd have like two or three people helping. But you stood in the mall hall and we let you in the store like two at a time or three at a time. And you could try them on, buy them, and then leave. And we were able to control it by the gate. And what I mean by a gate is if you go shopping in a mall, like if you've ever been in a mall when it closes, like they have these metal gates that go down to close the store. Yeah. So I remember him going, okay, he's like, this is what we're going to have to do. He's like, I'm going to open the gate about 10 inches off the ground. He goes, Dave, I need you to slide under the gate and go open the back door, because they were going to go into like the service hallways, like where freight's delivered, to get so the staff could get in the store. Because we would have lost total control. We didn't have drawers in or anything. We didn't have cash pulled, you know, so we're going to walk out of the stock room with the cash drawer when there's 70 people in the store? No way. So, multiple times I can remember the police departments having to help us with shoe launches. Fights breaking out, putting people, like people getting body slammed through tables, like wrestling style, because they were like two spots in line in front of them. Companies have gone to a little bit more of like a lottery system now, like where you can pre-order and you also like get your name drawn from something to decide if you can get one of the 100 pairs that they get.
Which isn't a broken system. Joking, that's a super broken system they are now, but at least it's safer. Because I was going to say, you're lucky you got out of the shoe game now, or back when you did, because it is like way worse now with those lines. I don't participate, but enough of my friends do.
Yeah.
And it's either like, okay. Oh,
if I could tell you, man, like, because people learn, like, and we would have the shoes in the store three and a half weeks before they come out. We'd have, you know, it's, you know, being a stock person for a long time, like, and, like, I'm not kidding. Like, I worked at a top volume shoe store in right on the edge of Detroit. Like, it was the mall to go to if you wanted shoes, and we would sell through them so fast. But like, when you are putting stock away and you're putting 1100 pairs of Jordan 11 retros like on shelves, and it's just taking up 40 feet of your stock room, and you're walking down there every day and counting them every day, like I was responsible to make sure, like, yesterday I had 405 pairs, today I only have 402 pairs, like where did my three shoes go, you know, like that's stressful. The amount of money that I've been offered by certain people that know and understand the shoe game is crazy. Like, people are like, hey, man, I'll give you like $1,600 right now if you give me these shoes today. And I'm like,
yeah, I've had that offer too for some video games, because at a store, when I went to Target, we get it like in advance.
No, but Michael, I'm talking about a guy that literally has $1,600 cash in his hand in front of me.
Dude, so for NBA. One of the NBA 2K games, someone offered me $500 if I gave it to him like a day early. And I was just like, man, I'm paid minimum wage. This would be a good severance.
Yeah. Or I can remember dropping deposit after like Jordan days. Because I would go, like, I was in high school and I would get in. I was responsible for, as you know, at 17 years old, like I was responsible for like the shoe side of Champs. I worked for Champs Sports at that time, which is actually owned by the same company that Foot Locker is ran by. And that was my, like, I was responsible for that side of the store, and like I would help sometimes counting money. And I'm like, on those Jordan days, like I'd go into work at 5:30, 6 o'clock in the morning, work until 8 o'clock or 8:30 in the morning, sell, you know, 400 pairs of shoes, get commission on those shoes, and then I'd go to school. Like, I'd go to class. I might miss first hour or something like that, and I'd go to class for the rest of the day. But the amount of commission I was making, even my dad is like, yeah, just miss math.
He's like, he did that math and was like, you can miss.
Yeah. But just the sheer amount of just cash and things like that would happen during those. And the fights and the pushing and the shoving and the half sizes difference. I think that one day that you and I just need to do like a Patreon episode of like retail stories. Like,
that's what I want to do for our first one is this.
Yeah, like a bonus Patreon episode of crazy retail stories.
Because that guy who offered me like $500 for 2K like a day early.
Yeah.
He didn't just ask once. He hung around for like a half hour, and that started at $50, and he worked his way up to $500. And I'm just like, dude, I literally cannot sell you this because our registers are street dated. Yeah. If my register wasn't street dated, I would fucking have that game in your car so fast. But yeah, I have plenty of retail stories from my Targets for sure.
All right, so I didn't mean to take that off that way, but I didn't really, but as soon as I saw that question, I was like, the things started racing in my head about midnight launches of shoes.
That's crazy.
Yeah. So Stuart sends a question, is what game would you like to see at launch for the next generation console?
I was thinking about this.
Yeah,
it's
hard.
Ghost of Tsushima.
Well, you always hear about something that you don't expect. Like, there was never, like, when they started talking about the PS4 launch, like, I don't think that anybody expected Infamous. Maybe we expected Sucker Punch to be doing something, but I don't think I expected them to be doing another Infamous. You know, nobody really knew if another Killzone was on the table at the time. Like, we're already looking at Xbox One or Scarlet, and that's going to be, you know, Halo. So I haven't played Horizon, but I mean, there seems to be a lot of people wanting to see a Horizon sequel. I think it would be a great time, at least from PlayStation's aspect, for it to be like another Spider-Man game or a God of War game, but it's very close.
That's what I was thinking. I'm just like, how Spider-Man, they already have New York built. You can't do Spider-Man outside of New York. I would feel like that would be the hardest part. It's been 2 years. It would be so great if we get a Spider-Man with the launch or the first year. And I feel like it's feasible, but probably won't happen.
I would be okay with it's, and it's the same thing with like Last of Us Part Two just coming out so soon. But I would be okay with another Lost Legacy style game from Naughty Dog at launch, like a story of like a Sully story, like Uncharted Sully stories style kind of thing.
That's what I was gonna suggest. Would you mind if the Uncharted series just turned into like a small set of games?
No, I don't think away so because their ability to tell a story arc with a solid beginning, a middle, and an end, I think is fine. I haven't finished Lost Legacy. I started it, didn't finish it, so I can't really tell if that ended like super well or not. But and then, like, I don't know enough about, like, Xbox stuff. Like, I'm sure you would love to see something from Ninja Theory. Like, I'm sure you would love, I don't even know if it's possible, but like a second Hellblade.
I would love that, but we were talking about this last week with Xbox having the developers launching games, like, early next year that they just acquired for their current-gen consoles. To say, I want Ninja Theory's next game, or their next game that isn't this Bleeding Edge or Bleeding Cool game, just because it's multiplayer, folks, and I want their single-player game. I would love Ninja Theory to have, like, a Hellblade launch game, but they probably won't. I have a feeling we're really just going to have a Halo at launch.
I would love to see, because, I didn't play Last Guardian, but I did play, I can't think of the name of it right now.
Shadow?
Yeah, Shadow of the Colossus. I would love to see another Sony Japan game in that model.
Yeah, because Team Ico's not a studio anymore, right? It's a Sony Japan?
I think it's all Sony Japan, yeah. So I would love to see them do something, because I really did enjoy Shadow of the Colossus.
I wouldn't mind seeing a new Fable game for Microsoft, but I don't know if that's going to happen. You keep hearing rumors that they're going to have a new Fable game, but they haven't really confirmed or denied anything.
And I'll still say it until it happens, but I don't even know if it'll happen. I want a four-player Ninja Turtle game in the Batman Arkham style.
Which we might get a Batman announcement at Game Awards, but it's going to be from Montreal and not Rocksteady.
Yeah. I mean, I don't
even... Rocksteady has to release a game. Can we just get a Rocksteady game at the launch of the next console?
But I think anybody that's wanting, like, the huge heavy hitters, like a GTA or something like that, would be... I think that Rockstar waits how the consoles then figure things going crazy on. I don't see Rockstar being...
We'll probably get Red Dead 2 a couple months after the console. That would probably be it. And so... they decide they're tired of making truckloads of money off GTA 5.
Tim wrote in chat, Aquaman by Rocksteady. Like, if they're going to go that superhero route, I would love... I think Aquaman is not as big of a character. I feel like any comic, if DC's...
Wonder Woman would be probably. Which, there was rumors that they were working on a Wonder Woman game, or a Justice League game, and then they put it to a Wonder Woman game at Batman. But man, I want the Ninja Turtles game from Rocksteady.
Wasn't there a character in the game of Ninja Turtles called Rocksteady? Or...
Yeah, Bebop and Rocksteady. So it'd be perfect.
Yeah. Our final question of the night. If you got a job in the gaming industry, what job would you like... and what city in the U.S. would you move to for the job? # asked it. Did you think about this one at all?
A little bit. So I don't have a creative bone in my body, so I couldn't really work in the video game industry unless I do PR, community management, which would be pretty enjoyable. But you'd need a really thick skin because people on the internet talking about video games are vicious. Probably be hell if I tried to move over to that side of the video game industry. But it'd be interesting to see, especially working with the developer and then trying to like work on a pitch to the general public. Always fascinating. What I would really be interested in is you hear about the big publishers that hire mock reviewers to do basically like a full review so they can like gauge where they think their review scores will go.
Uh-huh.
That always fascinated me because when you do the mock reviews, you don't have like a complete version of the game. They give you like a pretty early version of like, an alpha, and you kind of have to fill in the blanks of like, okay, and try and figure out where you think the game will be gated. by critics. And I feel like that's always kind of fascinating because I love seeing games early in development. That's like why I like three events, is you get some games that are super early, like mm-hmm. so early they shouldn't be shown publicly. Get that pick, like, hey, this is what we're working on. This is what I love that aspect. So mock reviews, I think, are an aspect. In terms of cities I would want to move, I don't want to go to San Francisco because it's too expensive. I already live in an expensive city, Chicago, so I don't want to go to a more expensive city. I like Seattle. Seattle is a really nice city. There's plenty of like studio and companies, publishers in Washington. So the only place I can think is like Seattle. What about you, Dave?
I think that if I could, you know, ideally, like community management always sounds like something good, like interacting with the community, building things similar to what we kind of do now already. But if you really asked me, like, just like remove that aspect of game, like what I would want to do in terms of a game, definitely in like the live service games, it would be like investment. Like, I would love to be the guy that's talking to the people that are designing the sandbox or the reward system and be to the point of like, okay, why do I want to do that? What do I get for doing that on a weekly? Because like in a game like Destiny and Division and Anthem, it's like, why do I want to go over there? What reason do I want to go over there? What reason do I want to bash my head against the wall multiple times to complete a challenge, complete a task? Oh, you get this really cool like cosmetic gun, you know, gun skin. No.
So you would want to work on game logic, kind of?
Not even necessarily game logic, but investment versus reward. You know, the reasons to continue to play the game. Like and some games nail it really well. Like, and it works. Like in a PvP game that you continuously play, like Overwatch, like a seasonal event is good enough for you to say, like, that skin is really cool. Like, that aspect really works. That rarity of that item works well. In a game like Destiny or The Division, you know, when you're like, okay, here's super balls ass hard content for you to do. That's your no matter what you do, you're going to be under leveled for this encounter. Okay, that sounds like a really cool idea. I really like hard activities that, you know, you can't just plow through. What do I get for doing that? And the answer is like, oh, well, you get this little cool emblem that you can put next to your name that said, I did the thing. Mm-mm, that's not good enough.
So it would be your business card would be Dave Hunt, loot. Advisor.
So I mean, because I would love to like sit at a table with, and I was able to do it a little bit during the Bungie when I got to review Destiny 2, and I got to talk to, like, I had lunch twice with Luke Smith and Mark Noseworth, and just to, you know, talk to them about, you know, certain things. And I'm like, oh well, that's a play, you know, I literally said to him like, oh, that's a PlayStation exclusive exotic, so it's gonna be crap, right? And he's like, what, why? I was like, because you can't make something great that all the player base can't have. And they're kind of like, somebody's like, I can't believe you said that to him. And I was like, well,
how dare you be truthful?
And he kind of just looked at me like, and I was like, am I wrong? And he's like, it's a good gun. I'm like, I didn't say it wasn't a good gun. I just said, is it gonna be, there's, because I got so much crap in Destiny 1 for not having a top tier. They had a top tier weapon that was locked from other players. It was exclusive to PlayStation.
Yeah,
so it's like,
well, logic would be, we can't have something in the god tier, ultra tier, that's right, like tied up to an exclusive. So like the logic behind that is like sound.
Yeah, but it was, I was like, oh, I don't care, this guy doesn't know who I am, and by next week he's gonna forget who I am.
No, the problem is, you're that guy, you're that one Twitter comment that would haunt them for like weeks. Like, they won't know your name, but they'll be like, can't believe that motherfucker said that. He'll just be drinking coffee one day, just like, son of a...
Well, because Destiny has a problem right now where... Okay, I'm going to go off on a small little mini tangent, sorry. So, the moon is a new place in Destiny, and there's a really cool dungeon in Destiny that you can complete, and you get and your reward at the end of the completing the dungeon is a masterworked piece of armor. Having masterworked armor in the game is very good. It's also very expensive to do. It costs a lot of materials of armor, materials that you only get from higher end content. So completing this encounter gives you a guaranteed masterwork armor drop. But the way that their system works is they have a lot of stats in the game, you know, intellect, how fast you get your super back, how fast you get your grenade back, how fast you get your melee back, how fast you get your health back, how fast you can move. And so there's like intellect, discipline, strength, mobility, resistance, recovery, all that stuff. And people are farming higher stat gear with the way the new armor is implemented. But since it's, for whatever reason, since it's moon armor, it can't drop above mid-tier stats. So it's like, you made this really, really cool encounter that is almost like a mini raid and has a great reward at the end, but that reward is almost a guaranteed shit stat roll. Why would I continue to do it? So it's because it's moon armor, and the same thing can happen where you can complete the raid, which is pinnacle gear, high level gear, but you can get a low stat armor piece for completing the raid, which is one of the higher you know, the harder aspects of the game to do. But then you can go do a Nightfall that you can do over and over and over and over again at, on level 980 and get exotic armor to drop that almost always drops in high stats, but it's only exotics. So it's like, why did you input that system in place for one activity, but then in this other one, put another system in place that gives a fully masterworked item, but it's a terrible stat? Like, it just doesn't make any sense.
Dave, do you have a Reddit account?
No, I don't.
Feel like there's a thread for you. That'd be perfect.
I don't, because I think I'd get mad at people.
Yeah, I think you would. You'd
get banned on Reddit like in a day. But I at the same time, like, as I've learned over the years, like, I try to be respectful to developers, because I've had some developers tell me, okay, I get what you're saying, and that's a really cool idea, but that's really fucking hard.
I've had the same conversations with people, and they're just like, budget. You know, it's like, okay, fair shit. Yeah. Cool. Give me the reason.
Darksiders Genesis, Darksiders 1, 2, and 3 all looked amazing third-person action games. I can't get the name right, but the company that made Darksiders 1 and 2 isn't the same one that made 3. Airship Syndicate. I'm probably getting that wrong, but the original Darksiders guys, and they... THQ Nordic purchased them or made a publishing deal with them, and they showed off Darksiders Genesis, which is, you know, a top-down style. And the first question out of my mouth was, why? And the guy that made Darksiders was like, cost. He's like, this is 60% less expensive to do than what we had previously done with Darksiders.
Yep, and the last Darksiders game, probably not the best Darksiders game, so this could be the direction to go.
Yeah.
What city would you want to go? Washington? Seattle?
I've been to Seattle once, and I was in a hotel the whole time.
I always say I really like that city, and I
don't hate San Francisco. Like, I really like when I go to San Francisco. I love walking around, and that I can get anywhere in the city. I really like the city. I really like the variety of food and being like, I've gone, you know, going stuff is very close. Like, being able to walk to, you know, where the San Francisco Giants play, and I know that the 49ers play like in San Jose. The public transportation system, the aspects of that compact city really intrigue me. But yes, it is a very expensive city. If I had to say something based on where I've been or where I think would be really cool, it's just New York. Like, it would fascinate me to just be able to live somewhere and just be able to walk to work and not have to worry about owning it. That I think that's the other reason, like, San Francisco always, like, fascinates me, because, you know, it's like, oh, my job's only like a 7-block walk. I mean, I hear really good things about, like, Austin, but I've never been to town.
Same.
And Florida's just too hot.
Nope. And it's Florida.
All right. Excuse me. So those are all of our questions. Do you have a spotlight this week, other than that you just want a nap?
I just want a nap. I'm going to spotlight naps. Naps are really good, guys. I think you should take one a day.
I took a nap today before we
I haven't had it. I took a nap this morning. I was off today, but like 2 hours before I had to go to a family dinner, I took a nap, and it was great. I was watching Disney Plus, fell asleep halfway through.
For me, I said I would look it up. So my spotlight will be, I'm going to attempt to stream Stadia game. It's going to be Destiny. It'll be Samurai Showdown. We suck at that. This is bad. So Simonak, I'm sure I'm killing his. He sent me the buddy pass code from Sweden. So I put a tweet out, and apparently he follows me, and he's a listener from Sweden. So thank you for sending me the buddy pass. It's 90 days of Stadia.
If anyone wants to send me a buddy pass, it's at the first MJC on Twitter. I will kill my data cap for 3 months.
There's a couple, like, maybe I might even mess around with Tomb Raider if Tomb Raider is something I can play. I don't know how it's going to work in terms of if I don't have the Ultra account, since I'm just like testing it. It might just be Destiny and Samurai Showdown, but if Tomb Raider's on there, I might be able to check that out. So I will attempt to stream some stuff from Stadia. He sent me that code, so thank you for that. And then again, just to wrap it really quick, just check out patreon.com/digitaldaysgaming. We will be retooling that. I still would love to hear your guys' feedback. We had a conversation thread in our Facebook group where we got some feedback. I understand that, you know, early access might not matter to some people. It may matter to some others. But I would love to see what you guys would want. Like, do you want it? Would you rather have a tier, just, you know, like a $4 tier, be a bonus episode of hearing Michael and I ramble about a specific game or about our retail stories? You know, is early access, is 48 hours for $5? Is that still too much? Is it not enough? Like, you know, merchandise is very hard. I keep kind of going to that. Michael's like, how do you track that? When do you send it? So he's, you know, he's trying to bring all the logic into it. But, you know, tracking merchandise is difficult. Merchandise in general is, you know, we're only a month old. That could be way down the line long term.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I'm not like against it. It's just it's a down the line.
Right. So, I mean, right now I feel like the, you know, like, maybe we'll open the Discord up to everybody, but we'll have a specific Patreon support channel where you guys can, you know, if you post in there, like, I'll have notifications on, or Michael will have notifications on. So when you post in there, like, we'll see it and we'll be notified that you post in there so that we can, you know, respond to you. Like, more of a direct contact to us. Do you want a tier in there where we play games with you, you know, presuming that we own the game, you know, any of those things? Like, I would love, we've been asking for it. I would love to see any kind of feedback of, and again, acceptable feedback is Patreon's dumb, I'm never doing it. Like, I get it. So I'm not saying it has to always, everything has to be positive. You guys have been amazing. I continue to get messages. I got a message from somebody the other day, like, I didn't know that you changed and started. And I'm like, well, how did you miss it? But, you know, so he's like, I got a lot of catching up to do. And looking at the data and everything like that, it's been fascinating and amazing. My apologies for not streaming very much this week. It's just hard on Michael and myself. And the next couple of weeks might be hard, but there's some really cool things coming in 2020. And, I've got some more hardware things to do. This came in. Michael can't see it. He'll see it on the stream in a minute. But this did come in from Evo Controllers. I met with them during E3 a couple years ago. They sent me an Apex controller. And at first I was disappointed because I thought that I was going to get something that I was very interested in. And I was at first disappointed, but then I forgot to turn it over. So on the backside, if you're not watching on the videos, I'm sorry guys, but it actually has our logo on it. Our Digital Days Gaming logo on the back.
So I want one.
And this one is similar to like some of the other custom controllers. This one doesn't have the paddles on the bottom. This one has buttons. So like, and you can map them, and it's not the long paddles. So they're actually more on where your hands naturally rest. And I can change out the thumbsticks and everything like that as well. And it has a little evil symbol on the light bar. Thank you to them. That's a PR contact that I reached out and said, hey, this is what I'm doing now. And she's like, cool. I'm on board. And I'm like, awesome. So I've been messing around with that just a little bit. But just to have something with our logo on it is very, very cool. We'll see what I can do to maybe take care of Michael. So that's, again, you know, a tribute to you guys. And us being a month old now, we're going to start sending out some more information to some other people. We wanted to wait until, like, we had some things established and hit some milestones. And you guys have been monumental in that process. So hopefully you'll see the coverage start ramping up in 2020 as we partner with some of these companies and relationships that we built over the years. No matter how good our relationship is with anybody, it's still in numbers, and you guys are producing that are hopefully good enough for these companies. Like, yeah, you know what? We want to partner with you. But anything that you guys can do to share it, you know, leave a review. Almost all of them have been 5-star reviews. You only want stickers. My wife is in chat, and she only wants stickers because she's the one that made the logo. we appreciate everything that you guys have done to help grow the podcast and just continue to share it. So, you know, take the feed. I don't know if you guys have noticed, like, on your mobile devices, you can actually click the share button and you can send it out on a tweet or on a Facebook, even just doing something like that. Somebody might see it and be like, hey, I didn't know that you liked gaming, and or somebody that you follow that's mutual with us would have, you know, just happened to be browsing Facebook or Twitter that day and see it. It's all great. It's all helpful. Much appreciated. I hope everyone has a great week. I hope Michael and I have a better week. And I hope everyone had a great Thanksgiving, if you celebrated it. And if not, we are 23 days away from the next holiday. from Christmas Eve. So, got anything else, bud?
My White Claw's empty, and I open tomorrow. I think I'm good.
All right. Have a great week, guys. We'll talk to you later.